Welcome to the Brain People Podcast, a show where four mental health experts team up to bring you practical tools for overcoming mental health challenges. The Brain People don't replace your doctor or therapist, but we will give you some extra tools to help you on your journey. So join us as we fight mental illness, one episode at a time.
Welcome to the Brain People Podcast. My name is Dr. Katie Cruz. I'm a licensed clinical psychologist, and joining me is my co-host,
Amanda Anguish, and I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist.
Alrighty, and today we are talking about how to honor difficult parents. A big topic, and a topic that's really needed, because the reality is some of us have challenging home situations, whether it's this is someone that's an adolescent that's listening or an adult child at whatever phase you're in. I'm hoping that this could be something that can be helpful to know how to honor our parents.
Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons that this actually was brought up, because somebody I know specifically asked us if we would cover this in this podcast. So I'm sorry if you've had to wait a while for this, but this is our attempt at answering that question.
And we figured that it wasn't just that one person struggling with this.
No. We wouldn't answer a question just for one person. We know, both of us know in our practice, that we see a lot of people who are struggling with, especially, you know, when we're told to honor, that how do I do that when I have this parent that's just very difficult?
And I'm sure this can translate to a lot of different relationships, right? The principles of honoring difficult people in general. But we're really going to be focusing on parents today.
Yeah, and we can, you know, we'll deal with this in a respectful way, but also in a way that shows that we understand that some people that are listening are dealing with parents who have mental illness, addictions, even personality disorders like narcissism and that sort of thing. But we want to ultimately honor God in the way that we talk about this subject too. So that's the ultimate goal.
Yeah, so I know that we, in thinking about the topic honoring our parents, right, and difficult parents, we first have to really kind of define what is honor to give us a good foundation for the rest of this episode. So let's start with that. What is honor? What does it mean to honor?
Yeah, we don't often hear the word honor in just an American culture. Maybe other cultures, we hear that word honor. But in American culture, we don't hear it too much until we're talking about the Bible. And so when we look up those words in the Bible, there's two testaments that are in the Bible. And when we look at the Old Testament, the word is kabed. I'm probably not saying it right.
I wouldn't be able to correct you.
Because I don't speak Hebrew. But that word actually incites and this idea of, or suggests an idea of weight or burden. So when I honor somebody, there's a weight or burden to their position or their role that I'm acknowledging.
Wow, we often don't think about like it being a burden or a weight, but it does make sense in the depth of that word, what it means to honor.
And not all burdens are bad too. You know, like when we get married, there's a burden, like I have to consider this other person, but obviously there's a benefit that comes with it too, but there's a weight and responsibility that goes with it. And then in the Greek, I want to say the word is timeo, and that means to fix value or revere that person. So even if you put those two together, you realize, wow, there's a strong responsibility in this word to honor.
I was wondering, it kind of sounded a little bit like timid. I was like, is that related at all?
I would love to know that myself because you're bringing that up. But yeah, I don't know enough of Greek either. I only know what the concordance, the Bible concordance calls it in the dictionary.
It would make a little bit of sense, right, related to the reverence.
Yeah, but it would. To be slightly timid, not in a bad way, but to recognize, you know, with our parents, that authority that they've lived longer, they have more experience, more years behind them.
And even just, like you mentioned, their role.
Yeah, that's a huge responsibility to be a parent and raise a child And I often hear parents talking about how difficult it is when you have your firstborn because they don't sleep a lot, so you're missing out on sleep, and they feed all the time, and you're just constantly changing their diapers. But even more than that, the weight and the burden is to educate their characters to not just be a difficult person later. So that weight and responsibility has to do with the work.
Now, I know we'll get to this in a moment, but I want to just say it out loud so I don't forget. The pushback, what we might hear is, well, yes, there's that weight and that burden of that responsibility, but what if they're not changing the diapers? What if they're not, you know, educating their child and really raising their child? And that's part of the reason why we're doing this episode. It's what if they're not fulfilling their parental duties in a way that would maybe be easier than to not respect them if they're not fulfilling that role?
Yeah, bring that question up because I'm really tempted to answer it right now, but I also don't want to answer the next question before I do that.
So. Yes, yes. So we'll put that question
we'll
on a hanger for later.
Hopefully one of us will remember.
Yes. So let's talk about then, so now we have a better understanding what is honor, but why is it important? Or another way to ask that in relation to what you're going to share is, why would God ask us to honor our parents?
Yeah, well, in the Bible, it shows us in two places. That's where we get those words, you know, in the Greek and the Hebrew. In the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, we're specifically told to honor our parents in Exodus 20, verse 12, and that's in the Ten Commandments. And God says to honor our parents, and it says, honor thy father and thy mother, I'm reading from the King James Version, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And so God specifically even putting in his commandments, and we know that God's commandments are his love language, his way of instilling in us a sense of respect for the way he set things up and that we would live by those ways because he wants the best for us. So he's essentially asking us to honor our parents because that's how society works best when we do that.
And I love that because, you know, people often will mention this, that this commandment has a promise. And let's say if some of our listeners or viewers are not Christian and they don't adhere to, you know, the Bible as their source of truth, the principle still applies. Let's say you remove that God says this and you just say, honor your parents because it will be better for your life.
Yeah.
And that's something that we can see as clinicians, right, that when our clients honor their parents experientially, that their life is better.
Absolutely. And there's some caveats in there, too, that we're going to get into because in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, it says almost the exact same thing. And it even says what you said, too, about the promise. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And obviously it's right because God made it that way. And it says, honor thy father and thy mother, same exact wording, which is the first commandment with promise, which means a promise is a divine assurance of good. So if God sets it up, it's like if you get your car and you have a manual and the manual says, do it this way, there's a promise like, oh, my car is going to work better if I follow these principles with my car, I take care of it this way. And God's reminding us that there's a promise that it works better that way. It says that it may be well with thee and thou might live long in the earth. So there's actually a promise of longevity. And that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to live like 120 years or something, but that you will also have even abundance of life. So a lot of people complain like, oh yeah, I lived this long, but I didn't have a good life. God's essentially saying you're going to have a good long life if you follow these principles. Now, you mentioned, well, what if I have a difficult parent or something like that? But if God just gave all of the excuses, would we ever follow the principle? And I hear people say this even with like marriage. Well, what's the point of marriage or something? But how many people are still getting married? There must be something about it that people keep doing it. So God's reminding us in this parent-child relationship that if you follow these, this is the ideal situation that you can expect if you do that.
Yeah, because I know that a lot of people, even Christians, push back on these verses, right? Of like, what? God is asking me to obey when they're abusive or fill in the blank. But in the fuller context, later on, it says, and parents don't provoke your children.
Yes, and that's what it says even later in Ephesians, because Ephesians 6 is like a nice little package of how everybody should treat each other in all these different roles. And so it says that parents are given authority over their children to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that's in verse 4. So that's right after that. So God's essentially saying, these are the principles. Like, I'm laying it out. But it's interesting, why doesn't he say, well, unless this happens? Isn't that what we're all looking for, though, is excuses why not to do something? We always want to, you know, the path of least resistance. Well, that's too hard. Like, you're making me do something. But God's showing us that this is his ideal layout, his ideal pattern for how families are supposed to work and even society.
Yeah. And it is a hard balance, right? There are individuals that are definitely looking for excuses, but there are individuals that are really struggling
Absolutely.
With this. Like, God, like, I want to honor you, but it's really hard. It's hard, and that's why I appreciate this episode, because what do I do in a situation where I want to do the ideal, but the actual circumstance is not the ideal?
And yes, that's really hard, and I know that because when I work with somebody, it's so hard to not just, you know, agree with my client when they're saying, but they did this, and but they did this, and but they did this. And it's not that I don't agree with the pain and the suffering that they've gone through, but sometimes, too, what happens is when something happens, we're looking for the next thing. This is how our brains work. We want to protect ourselves. So after that initial hurt or pain, we're looking at how to protect ourselves. And what we're not looking at often, and this doesn't mean that there aren't exceptions, we're not looking at sometimes what the parent might be trying to do, even if it's not the best way, you know, or we're not looking at maybe where the parent came from, you know, and we forget that, you know, parents struggle with things too. And sometimes parents, you know, maybe this is a good commercial for if you have some stuff that in your life that you haven't worked through, maybe now is not the best time to have a child. You know, work through that stuff first so you don't take that and, you know, put that extra burden on your children that they have to now struggle with that. Maybe we should do an episode on how do you know you're ready to have a child?
And how not to provoke your children.
Yeah, and how not to, because it's all that's also in Ephesians 6 too, that we're not to provoke our children to wrath.
And I think what you were just highlighting about, like, understanding your parent or what, you know, they may be doing something in the wrong way with different intentions, is it's not as black and white as we like it to be. And so either, right, with this, you know, what you're alluding to with some of the excuses or looking for ways to not do something, it's black and white. Either I honor my parents if they're good, or I don't honor them because they're bad. But how can we maybe have that gray where we can still honor them regardless of how they treat me? And I think that's really a key point. And that applies to talks about forgiveness, which I know we'll allude to later on and so forth, because that is emotional maturity.
Yes.
Is treating people with honor and respect, regardless of how they treat me. And now we'll talk, you know, about boundaries and other things. It's not, again, black and white, where then you say, well, then I'll let people step on me and so forth. But it's saying, I will still honor people. And I think that's what God is asking for us to do, is honoring people for the sake of honoring them. Now we'll also talk about, and how do you also take care of yourself, which is important.
I'm glad you brought that up, what you just said, because honoring other people despite how they treat me, because one of the things I've talked to with clients is we often build our identities based on reactionary measures to what other people have done to us. So you do this to me, I'm going to do that to you. If you do this to me, I'm going to do that to you. And I like to encourage people to, and I think this is the connection, that by honoring other people, we actually honor ourselves mm-hmm. even better, because now my identity isn't tied into what did you first do to me. My mm-hmm. identity is, this is who I want to be. And I've talked to my clients mm-hmm. about this, where if I truly want to be the best version of Amanda that I can be, I have to decide first who I am, no matter mm-hmm. who other people are. Mm-hmm. And so does Amanda react and yell whenever somebody yells at her or talks to her a certain way? Or does she want to be this type of person who stays relatively calm mm-hmm. and assured and knows that just because that person says that doesn't mean it's a reflection of who I am necessarily, and I can wait and think about that before I react.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I like to use the analogy of, like, you have an anchor mm-hmm. and you don't drift with the wind. Yeah. I don't drift when so-and-so does this. It's being immovable, which mm-hmm. is a quality that's very necessary for a sound mind and a good mental health.
And I think this is why so many children or young, you know, children of parents, so it could be any age, we're not just talking about an actual child. This is why so many people get so frustrated with their ungodly or unkind or unhelpful parents or their difficult parents, because they realize that that parent is actually, it's like they're on a leash of mm-hmm. that parent.
And that's a good point.
And a way to honor that parent is to let yourself go of that leash and say, just because you do this doesn't mean that's how I'm going to respond. You can be over there and be you, and I will maintain who I am over here. And I can honor you without finding my identity in everything you say that I am or how you treat me.
I like that you use the word leash, because I think many reasons why people don't want to honor people that are difficult, especially their parents, is they feel that it's weakness. They feel mm-hmm. like they're being controlled by the parent.
Yeah.
And so I just want to say this to really validate our listeners who maybe struggle with honoring their parents, is that they may be having good intentions to mm-hmm. break free from that leash by saying, yes, I'm not going to honor you. Mm-hmm. This is also one reason why people don't forgive. Like, oh, mm-hmm. I don't want to be controlled by this person. And then they don't realize that by not honoring or by not forgiving, you actually end up being on that same leash that you want to break free from. And so mm-hmm. we're talking about this from the perspective of honoring, regardless of how people treat you or your parents have treated you, for the sake of honoring, mm-hmm. right? That weight, that burden, that reverence that we have, and that we, that way we can be independent and mm-hmm. have a healthy identity and so forth.
Yeah. Nobody controls me without my choice. Mm-hmm. And so the way you treat me doesn't mean I have to respond a certain way. That's true freedom, mm-hmm. to say that I am my own individual and I can still treat you a certain way. And it requires a certain amount of empathy too, mm-hmm. to understand that. I mean, I don't know about everybody who's listening, but I don't think our difficult parents are the only ones that we deal with who are difficult. Mm-hmm. So we'd have to be on everybody's leash if that were the mm-hmm. case. But it's helpful to understand, oh, maybe it's not that I'm being controlled, it's that I'm allowing myself. Mm-hmm. And I think it was Jodi Picoult, or I don't remember who said it, that when you find yourself caged, figure out where you're holding the key, mm-hmm. you know? And yeah, oftentimes we have the key to release this. We don't even realize it, though. Mm-hmm. And we're letting the other person have control. And I even find, you know, sometimes I think about, you know, when I'm upset with somebody, where did I maybe have mm-hmm. some power that I let go of? And I'm not really upset with them. I'm upset with myself mm-hmm. for letting that happen, or my behavior happen. That's where I feel controlled, but it's really, I have control over that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. good discussion. I know yep. we went on a somewhat tangent, but very relevant. Uh-huh. And anything that you want to kind of bring us back to?
Yeah, so how do we honor ungodly parents? And you mentioned earlier that we talk about boundaries. So there are some boundaries that we can have. And sometimes we have a hard time with boundaries. We probably talked about that in another episode too. But sometimes we have a hard time with boundaries because we don't realize where our power actually is, and that we're actually helping the other person by having boundaries too. Mm-hmm. So one of the ways that we can have boundaries with our parents is not giving them extra room to sabotage the relationship. So what does that mean? If you've been abused by your parent, don't think that honoring means that you have to rush and let them watch their grandkids, or that you have to, you know, drive them to an unhealthy place where they might get drugs and alcohol if that's what they're doing, or allow them to even stay on the phone long enough to yell at you and make mm-hmm. themselves feel guilty at the end of that conversation, because it always goes back to that mm-hmm. place. So having boundaries or honoring your parents does not mean that you have to give them extra room to sabotage when they haven't been responsible with mm-hmm. that experience before.
And if you think about like what it means to honor, could honoring be setting that boundary?
Mm-hmm. It is. And I think about a story. I just did a talk on addiction with this story. But when you look at the story of Noah, when he got drunk, and his son, it says his son uncovered his nakedness.
His like, daughter?
His son uncovered Noah's nakedness. Mm. And then he goes and tells his brothers about it. Mm. It's one thing when somebody sabotages their life to go and, you know, oh, I can't believe you did this. What's wrong with you? Why do you always do this kind of thing? And you uncover their shame, or that you point out certain things. And that's why he got a curse later too, was because—
yeah, I think I was thinking about Lot.
Oh, yeah, Lot. That's true too. But he got a curse later because— yeah, Noah wasn't in the right by getting drunk, but what did his son do? He actually exposed it even more. And sometimes what we want to do is we want to not honor our parents, and we put them in positions, or we expose their weaknesses. And I don't think God wants us to do that, to make a mockery of them, but it's okay to have a boundary. Mm-hmm. And then his other sons came in and covered him mm-hmm. up and without looking.
So it's this idea that even when they do wrong, mm-hmm. right, we don't add to the wrongness by exposing. So in the case mm-hmm. of Noah, then, okay, mm-hmm. he got drunk, right?
Yeah.
Or my parent mistreats me, mm-hmm. but not adding to that.
Yeah, it could be anything from mocking them on social media, or can you believe what my parent did, or something like that. It might be a matter of getting them help, or suggesting, hey, if you want help, I'll help you, but if you're going to continue to do this, I can't support that behavior. That might mm-hmm. be it. But to go and tell everybody and, you know, mm-hmm. run them up in the news or something like that is not a way to honor a parent, mm-hmm. even when they're struggling.
Now, that gets tricky when sometimes needing to share information about your parent in order for yourself to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really tricky, and probably we don't have time to get into that, but it is good to struggle with that and wrestle. Mm-hmm. Don't immediately say, you know, oh, this is what I need, so I'm going to expose my parent. But also don't automatically say, well, I need to honor my parent. And so,
yeah.
And I'm thinking about cases where, let's say there's abuse in the family,
mm-hmm.
and they're so concerned about what others might think of the family. They want to honor their parents, and so they don't want to share.
Yes.
And this could apply to parents. This could apply to institutions or mm-hmm. other things. So we end up maybe not exposing the nakedness,
yes.
but we cover it up ourselves mm-hmm. as a way to honor, but it actually can be very hurtful to ourselves as well.
Absolutely. And that's a case where honoring one dishonors another too. So I think that's the answer to that question, is if we, and is it really honoring the parent to let them continue in poor behavior and mm-hmm. actually endorse the behavior by giving them other opportunities to do those things?
That's what I think is key,
mm-hmm.
is the same way forgiveness or honor, like we have to really be clear what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Honor, love, all of that, it doesn't mean to hide bad
yes.
behavior. It doesn't mean mm-hmm. to justify bad behavior.
Mm-hmm. Or cover it up so that we're supposed to expose darkness. The Bible mm-hmm. tells us the light exposing darkness. And so, yes, in those situations, there is no blood so thick that you can't say something if it's to help that person and other people too. So, yes. And that's, I hate to say the fun part of therapy, but there's no like specific answer because all situations are unique. But if it's going to hurt someone else or give that person the opportunity, that parent the opportunity to hurt more people, that doesn't honor them. Mm-hmm. And I've seen people say, oh, well, you know, my parent really wants this, you know, this situation to happen a certain way, but they know ultimately what's the long-term outcome of this. And I think that's really key is when we honor, we should be thinking long-term, not just short-term. Because a mm-hmm. lot of us are very, you know, short-term oriented, whatever makes me feel right. And out of anxiety or guilt, we can give in to a bad behavior. Mm-hmm. But then long-term, what are we doing? Oh, I just endorse this behavior.
Mm-hmm. Enable
them. I enabled mm-hmm. and endorsed the behavior. So that's not the answer mm-hmm. either. And so there is a fine line because I don't know all the parents that are represented by the people that are listening. But to be clear is consider, wrestle with that. Is this a long-term solution or just a short-term solution that makes me feel better and gets them, you mm-hmm. know, feeling like I'm a good kid or something mm-hmm. like that too.
So we're talking about how to honor parents. And so partly what we're talking about is honor does include boundaries setting.
Yes. All relationships, mm-hmm. honor includes boundaries. Even our relationship with God, those 10 commandments are boundaries. There's mm-hmm. there's situations where God sees the bigger picture and what works best for the home and society and our relationship even with him. And there's no healthy relationship without boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So boundaries are part of it. How else can we honor our parents, especially mm-hmm. when difficult?
Well, I have a list of some things that we can consider and stuff when we're recognizing that in our relationships and honoring, we want to be a godly example. And stuff. So it's not just about the parent. It's not just about us and that sort of thing. So one of the things that the Bible talks about is not returning evil. So we kind of discussed that, you know, and not reacting when somebody treats us a certain way. But it's really important. Sometimes we take things into our own hands and we want to, you know, hurt the person or react a certain way because we don't fully understand that God is the ultimate judge of someone's behavior. And so even when somebody has been hurtful or unkind to us, especially our parents, that God will ultimately take care of them. And when I say take care, it doesn't just mean he's going to punish them. Sometimes in the best case scenario, it means he's working with them. The Holy Spirit mm-hmm. is working on them and they will change. I'm working with someone right now who's actually making that change in their lives. It's hard because they have a pattern of poor behavior, but they're actually trying. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to mess up what God is trying to do for somebody. And so vengeance ultimately is his because he sees the bigger picture. The next thing is forgive. Number two is forgive. And we won't go into that because we did a whole podcast on forgiveness, but I'll just give some references to some books that you can read. Forgiving the Unforgivable by David Stoop and Forgiving What You Can't Forget by Lisa Turkhorst. Number three is seek to understand. It's important to understand that people, you know, we have that line, hurt people, hurt people. A lot of our parents have gone through struggles. Maybe we don't know what they are. Maybe we do know what they are. I also like the book, Ministry of Healing, chapter 41, In Contact with Others. We don't often understand truly what people are coming from that caused them to treat people that way. And even narcissists, we know in the mental health profession that it's a deep-seated low sense of self that causes them to constantly compensate for that by boasting and bragging and putting other people down. And that doesn't mean we still don't have boundaries, but to recognize that everybody has a story that they're coming from. And sometimes that helps us understand that better. Number four, pray. Like you can listen to all of our recommendations and advice, but true wisdom comes from God. And sometimes, you know, he'll tell you something that we haven't covered or that sort of thing, but God can, you know, put a passage in front of you that helps you understand the situation so much better than you realized. And then do what you can within reason. That's number five. You can still be kind to unkind people. Mm-hmm. There are ways to do that. And I might have mentioned in this podcast before that, you know, I had a time in my life where God taught me how to be kind to somebody who was very unkind to me, and the outcome was totally unexpected. But you can also look up Joyce Meyer's testimony of how she dealt with a very difficult father, and I say that not in a light way. He was abusive sexually towards her growing up, and she wound up taking care of him in the last stages of his life, and you just see the change that came over him through her testimony and stuff, because ultimately this is to honor God. Number six is focus on the truth. And we touched on this a little bit, but don't personalize these things. When we have difficult parents, imagine how would that parent treat another person in the same situation? Probably no different than me. So this isn't the way they treat me is not about me. It says so much about them. And so by personalizing, all it does is connect me even more to the pain and the suffering by saying, oh, if I'd only done this, or why did this have to happen to me, instead of, oh, why did they seem to think that this was the best way to deal with their problems or to handle, you know, raising kids in the home or something like that. And then the last thing is recognize who's watching. You know, some of us kids have kids of our own, and we want to be an example to those kids. We want to be an example to our community. And, you know, if we just fight fire with more fire, what happens to our homes, even the homes that those parents are no longer living in with us, but we start talking about it, and it just feels like an unhealthy, unkind attitude. And then kids, I've seen kids talk about people they've never met because they hear their parents talking about those people. And you'd think those kids knew them. They're like 5 and 6 years old. And can you believe what grandma did or something? I'm like, you haven't even met your grandma because your mom won't let you or something. And so to recognize who are the little eyes and ears that are watching and listening to us, the community, are we imposing that same burden on them? I like the quote, you know, you can get a cactus, but you don't have to sit on it. We don't have to continue to perpetuate the unkindness or the hatred that we were inflicted with onto others too. And ultimately, all of heaven is watching too. You know, we can be advocates on this earth for heavenly minded things and heavenly minded behavior. And I wish I had many more testimonies of this, but I remember I was dealing with a difficult person once, and
just once,
just this one time that I'm talking about. But I didn't realize this woman was watching how I responded to this person. And she said to me, wow, I want to respond just like that when I'm in those kinds of situations. And I had to gulp for a second because I hadn't even thought about who was watching. I was just responding, and I was like, praise God that I did it the right way, because this could be the opposite response. But there are people watching us, and whether we realize it or not, and we want to respond in a way that honors the heaven, you know, heavenly God that we serve. And that's always what we want to do.
And you know, Amanda, that's so counterculture today.
It is.
Right? And a culture of honor shame, cancel culture. We have the mentality of do what's right for you, right? It's individualism. It's, you know, if someone hurts you, you hurt them back, you're justified.
Yep.
But that could be helpful for that one person. But what I love that you're sharing is the idea of community. And we've heard it said so many times, right? Be the change that you want to see. Yep. But it is an element of paying it forward. And so I know that we're asking a lot of our listeners, because it is challenging to respond like the way that you did. And that's why that woman admired your response. But it's inspiring to others around us. And we are a collective family of humanity. And it's important for us. And one of the key elements, I think, of Ephesians 5 and 6, it talks about husbands, wives, children, parents, master slaves, is God is trying to help the collective society to function in a way that can be helpful. So not just for the individual, it is helpful for the individual to honor others that are difficult, but it also is very inspirational as a human family.
Yeah, and I want our world to be a nicer place to be. I don't know how that will happen all the time with the things that we see, but how nice is it when you see somebody doing something in the direction of a healthier and happier world? Mm-hmm. And I've truly seen people change out of seeing other people not react to them the way that they deserved in that moment. And I mean, you can watch all kinds of videos in courtrooms of people rather than lashing out at their perpetrators, forgive them. Mm-hmm. And you see a stone cold person mm-hmm. become soft, even start crying in those situations. And I think, wow, if we only understood that God's ways aren't always the ways that we think they're supposed mm-hmm. to be, but if we truly trusted him, how many of our homes would be a lot better? Mm-hmm.
And so it's an encouragement to our listeners that there's kind of two paths.
Yeah.
There's the path of that's very justified for mm-hmm. revenge, for unforgiveness, of dishonoring or not respecting your parents, or mm-hmm. the other more difficult path, but one that honors people, that does not react, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. But there's also a strong sense of integrity
yes.
as we live that life, where maybe it's difficult, but then the understanding that I'm doing this both for myself and for others. They say, mm-hmm. you know, the best pillow is a clear conscience.
Clear conscience.
Right?
Yeah.
So we want to encourage our listeners and our mm-hmm. viewers to take the harder path,
yes.
but also wrestle with it. We weren't able to cover all, you know, the different fine points. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, there's not a one size fits all. And
no.
so wrestle with the question of how do I apply these principles in my life with difficult parents or difficult people?
Mm-hmm.
And as you wrestle, hopefully some of the things we talked about today can be really helpful.
Yeah, and we will fail sometimes to do it, but the Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times and gets back up. And sometimes as we fall and get back up, God teaches us different things about, oh, this would be a better approach and this would work better. I'm not getting the same reaction, or wow, that person's simmering a bit when, you know, I do that. So we just want to do it his way and let us lead us. Mm-hmm. Let him lead us.
So, if you only take one thing away from today's show, remember this. If mental illness is a whole person problem, then it must have a whole person solution. I'm Dr. Katie Cruz.
And I'm Amanda Anguish, and you've been listening to
The Brain People Podcast.
Thanks for listening. To hear more episodes, find us on social media, or support us financially, visit thebrainpeoplepodcast.com.